Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Hey guys, good morning. It's Erica with Escapes. I am super excited this morning to have Adam McChesney on. He is an entrepreneur that is based out of St. Louis, Missouri, which I'm so honored to have him on our podcast this morning. He's transferred into entrepreneurship around the pandemic time, and he has done so many things. He is actually, outside of going out on his own for entrepreneurship, he's leveraged his wonderful skill sets in the digital marketing arena to grow multiple companies at this point, which I'm sure he will dive into a little bit more. But he is currently with Height Digital, which I will let him introduce that and tell us a little bit about how amazing they are and what they've done and some of their accomplishments. But he has been listed in the Inc. 5000 in 2022. He's also been listed as the best in marketing in St. Louis in 2022, and many others that I will allow him to introduce himself. So Adam, welcome. I am super excited to have you. We have just recently met, so I get to learn a little bit more about you today, but why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody that's listening this morning or this evening, what and who you are.
Yeah, Erica, thanks first off for having me on. I love your energy when we connected a couple of weeks ago and super excited to be here. So thank you so much for that introduction. Adam McChesney, I am married to my wife, Delaney, here in St. Louis, born and raised. And we just welcomed our first child into the world, Murphy, about 3 weeks ago. So adding the dad title and father. So it's been a transition, but a good one nonetheless. I spent 5 years in medical device sales right out of college. So I worked for a company most notably called ResMed. If anybody's familiar with CPAP equipment, masks, all that good stuff. I managed about a $25 million a year territory. And in 2018, I had just proposed to Delaney and was traveling all over the country and just really got to a point of thinking about like, what is it that I want in life? And at that point, I had just gotten promoted as well to an account manager, key account manager role at the company. And so at the age of 26, I went from making $75,000 a year to making $200,000 in my first full year. Yes. And I thought that I only, you know, like once I got the money, once I got all of that stuff, that everything was going to work itself out.
Icing on the cake, right? That's what everybody thinks.
The grass is always greener on the other side, right? And so I got to there, and then a couple months in, I'm like, man, like, this is what the rest of my life is ahead of me. I'm 10 years younger than the next person in the company that's at that level. And I just started to rethink what it is that I truly want. And so I was sitting in a hotel room in Kansas City, Missouri, after traveling for a few weeks in a row. And I just said, I'm going to type in how to make money online. And it made that search online. And then I got retargeted by an ad that taught me essentially how to build digital real estate in the form of digital marketing. So I took
now, what
that,
year was this? Because let's put it in perspective, like where we are. And we all know how big the digital marketing world is now, but kind of put it in perspective for anyone that's listening. What year was that?
That was 2018.
Okay.
2018. So 2018 happened. And over the course of 2018 to 2020, I was obviously still working in medical device sales. I ended up building 200 websites on my own, not charging people anything, doing all of this stuff, just trying to figure out what was working and not working from a website and SEO standpoint. And then I learned paid advertising on Facebook and Google. And then the pandemic happened. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, we just bought our forever dream home in May of 2020. So I used all of the tax and documentation stuff to get that house. And then 6 weeks later, I decided to go all in on entrepreneurship and digital marketing. So I did that. And over the course of the last 3.5 years, it's been crazy jump in the business after jump in the business. But I went from doing everything on my own to then going over to Hike Digital as a franchise. Now I'm a partner in the entire corporation. And so we do all of that stuff, but we do it for businesses and their companies and their brands now. Got over 600 clients in a variety of different industries, mainly in home service and professional service type spaces. I've also started an auto glass repair company and a landscape design company just from those initial websites that I have built back in 2018 that started to rank and generate so many leads that there was just the demand there and nobody wanted to take the lead. So I said, okay, I'll just become your competitor. So yeah, a lot of different things that have happened in that 3.5 year transition since going full time.
Well, that is amazing. 3 years is, I call that like the honeymoon stages for entrepreneurship, right? You're grinding every day and you're not really knowing what you're doing and how you're doing it. So I am going to rein that little tidbit back a little bit and get you to kind of expand on that. How was that jumping into, because I think we have a lot of entrepreneurs that are going to listen to the podcast and sit there and say, Adam, how did you know that you could do that? Just like, what was the drive behind there? How was Delaney? Like, we always have, we have our partners most of the time that are there and we're used to having that dual income and that security. And what a lot of people don't realize is that when you jump feet first into entrepreneurship, you really don't know if it's going to make it or break it. So what was that turning point for you that said, I know that I'm going to be able to do this? And what was the mindset that came into play right after that to go 3 years, multi-businesses, multi-six figures? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
I love that question. So much to unpack there. So I think the first thing is, like, I really had to sell Delaney on the dream. And I made a post about this. So I actually spoke at an event in Costa Rica over the summer to 300 plus digital marketing agency owners. And I said, back in 2018, when I originally bought that first course, I told Delaney, hey, I'm buying this course. I have no idea what's going to happen with it. But my goal for here and for buying this course is freedom. And I essentially manifested what we've been able to do now. And so I said, yeah, I want the freedom to work when I want to, where I want to, how I want to, and with who I want to. But I want to do it around our family. I said, you know, we're not even married yet in 2018. We're just, you know, proposed. We're married in 2019. We don't have kids. We just had our first kid. But I want to have a lifestyle around what it is that I do for work and not the other way around.
Right.
Because of how I grew up. My parents, amazing people. They ended up getting divorced right when I went off to college. And a lot of that came from my dad being an entrepreneur. And he was a partner in a large firm where we never saw him, but he was always, you know, providing for us. We always had like what we needed, but we didn't have him. And then he went out on his own. And it was like, we didn't have all of the things because it was a new business and we still didn't see him as much as we wanted to. So I wanted to reverse engineer kind of how I grew up great, absolutely loved them, had everything that I needed, but I wanted to do it on my own terms. And I didn't believe I could do that through corporate America. And I wasn't trying to be the father that just said, hey, you know, kids, you have all these amazing things, but you never get to see dad because he's on a plane 75% of the time. So that was the initial foundation why I did all of that stuff. So I sold Delaney on that. She was super, super supportive. But her and I have been together since 2015 when I was living in my mom's basement before I got into medical advice sales. So she's seen like this massive roller coaster of all these different things. And so, you know, of course it was scary. I essentially told her, I said, hey, July 1st is when I'm putting my 2 weeks in. That gives me 6 months until the end of 2020. If we don't have some type of progression where this is going to continue to go further, I will go back and I'll go get another job. But if I don't take this risk right now, I'm never going to know what could have been, and I'll probably always regret it. And there's not really a better time to do that. I didn't pay myself for the first 9 months. And it wasn't that the business wasn't making money, because we were. I was investing in masterminds and coaching and all of these other things because I knew that I wanted to condense time by trading money to get in rooms with people that had the answers and were where I was trying to go. So 3 weeks into entrepreneurship, I did that and I started to elevate myself on all of these different levels, and it kind of all took off from there. So long-winded answer, but that's kind of...
No, absolutely. Look, I think that's a great answer, because Garland and I were kind of similar. Garland was working for corporate America, and so was I. And we, not we, I came to him and I said, I want to do this. Never built houses before, never had been in the construction world before. But like you said, I had just manifested what I wanted this lifestyle to look like, because through corporate America, when I had my son, I was kind of in the same place. My parents were raising my son and I didn't get to see him, and I wasn't going to his little things at school. And like, you start to feel guilty, like, are my kids going to know me? And how do I change that cycle of work for money, or instead of making money work for you? And so I thought that was a great link connection there, that I think a lot of entrepreneurs probably have to sit back and think about, what do you actually want out of it? It can't be money. We always want the money, because obviously we have to have money to live. But if you really dig deep into it, like, we really want the freedom part of it. Now, if you ask entrepreneurs the first year of their life, 2 years of their life, sometimes 3 years, 4 years, depending on what their goals are, freedom is... it's a perspective of what that comes with, right? I do get to make my own schedule, and I do get to be around my kids more, but my clients obviously have access to me, or used to have a lot of access to me. And so I definitely think that was a key point there, is that freedom for a lot of entrepreneurs is where it really starts. So my other question was, is why digital marketing? You were right there at the pandemic. Like, how did you know that was going to be the elevation that you needed, or the market that was going to elevate? Because I mean, obviously, as we know, everything was shutting down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another great question. So in 2018, when I made that search online, that just so happened to be the thing that I decided to take a chance on. And yeah. So I was getting targeted in, I was doing research on, you know, Amazon drop shipping, eBay reselling, all of these different types of e-commerce things. And nothing just sounded like something I would actually want to do or be passionate about. And it also kind of sounded a little bit like a scam. And so digital marketing, I always thought was interesting and cool, because I love small and local businesses. Like I just, they're the lifeblood of our economy and all of the other things. And so I was taking a look at the course, and I spent $7,000 on that course. And it basically talked me through and through on how to actually get the end result that these businesses are looking for, while sifting through all the gray area and all the confusing aspect that a lot of large marketing agencies make everything way more complicated than they need to be. So I'm like, okay, this resonates with me. I have a sales background. I can understand the ins and outs of SEO and website building and things like that. And so as the pandemic happened and things were starting to shut down, it was kind of a blessing and a curse for a lot of businesses, because they were having to go online. They were having to start to invest in online assets with ad campaigns and SEO and websites, and restaurants were having to add online ordering so that right. way people could yes. get access to them. So there was this kind of this interesting shift, and there was also a ton of money that was getting injected back into the economy through the EIDL and all of those different things. And people were truly taking a different look at things, not to mention a ton of new businesses started getting into business because people had more money to spend because they weren't going on vacations. So again, I'm primarily working with contractors. Contractors for the last 3 years have really, really, I would say the last 2 years, this year's obviously been an up and down for a lot of industries, but for the past 2 years, like, people were spending money that they maybe didn't have, or that they were financing and all of those That's types right. of things. So it was just a really good situation for me to be at. But the lessons that I learned in building those first 200 websites, and this is one of the reasons why I've been successful, is so many marketing people will take somebody's money and use it as a case study. So be like, hey, Eric, I'm building my first website, or you're my first client. Or they might not tell you that, but they're going to sell you on whatever package they want to do. I had already done it 200 times. I had already tested out all the things that worked and didn't work. I had already had the case studies and the reviews and all of those things before I needed to actually make money with it. And so by the time I was like, all right, this is my full-time thing, I'm putting all this stuff, I combined that with personal branding and masterminds and coaches, and I kind of just went on this rocket ship that really hasn't stopped since, up until, you know, a little bit this year with how right. things are going.
Right. So tell me, so I'll put you on the spot a little bit. What is the biggest let me rephrase this. What question do you get the most from clients about when they're looking for a new marketing company?
Yeah. So everybody wants a guarantee. They want free services. They want, they say they want to pay, but then they're like, no, we've been burned in the past. So like, how are you different? Why are you different? And there's a variety of different reasons why I tell people that we're different. Some might be what I believe to be true and some are actually true, right? But the difference in how I've been able to connect with people is I've actually started businesses in industries or similar industries just off of the services that I'm selling. So if I'm going to hire you to build my home, I want to know that you would build your own home yourself, not go subcontract it out to somebody else and be like, you know what, you need to go talk to Susie down the street because she's actually like way better and can give you the best possible experience. Most marketing companies, if you actually ask the question, the marketing company, hey, can you show me what you're doing for yourself? That would make me think, okay, you can do this for my business. If you type in digital marketing St. Louis, not only do we have 100 plus Google business listing reviews, which most marketing agencies don't even have 10, we're on the first page of Google. My auto glass company outranks Safelite and all the other competitors that are in the local market. So I have these things where not only do I believe so much in what I'm actually selling you and trying to get you to do for your business, I have proof of me doing it
myself. You have a proven record. That's right.
And so many people, they say marketing doesn't work or they say that they have all these bad experiences. Well, it's because you hired people that don't know what they're doing. You tried to go super, super cheap with it. You try to spend a couple $100, maybe $1,000 a month. Like you're setting yourself up for failure, no different than if you were to position yourself. Like if your ideal client was talking to you and they were like, well, you know what, Erica, this company over here is doing it for half the cost and they're doing all those things. You'd be like, great. Like you're probably actually not my ideal client, but just so you know, here's what great and good looks like.
That's right.
Get what you pay for. And for some reason with marketing, people think that you can pay super, super low and get the same results as paying more. No, it's the same thing as with any business in any industry.
You're going to laugh when I say this, but I have been guilty of this when we first started, because obviously when you first start your business, you're trying to, obviously you want to brand yourself. You want to have these social media campaigns that you're promoting yourself just to get clients in the door, right? But I can remember, and you're going to laugh, I can remember contacting marketing companies and saying, look, I need a minimal budget. Like I don't even have the first client yet. Like, And now I look back at it. And when I talk to people or I'm coaching people, I tell them, no, you need to have a marketing budget and it needs to be pretty substantial. And look, some coaches have a percentage that they tell you based on your revenue or based on your profit that you bring in, and everyone's different. But I think that is a learning. That was something that I had to learn along the way, that marketing is key. If you're not marketing, you're not doing it right, and you're not doing it over multiple different platforms, then you really are setting yourself up to fall short. I'm not going to say fail, because look, there's those people that just do it on one platform and they, you know, they do all kinds of business, and that's fine. That's not me, but, you know, it can work out. But I was more cost conscious about my marketing budget at the very beginning than what I would say I am now. I'm definitely one of those businesses that say you have to use marketing to get yourself where you want to be, to get the leads that you need. So talk to me about your opinion on how AI is affecting the marketing world, because it's obviously everywhere. Some people are just now hearing about it, but a lot of marketing and digital marketing companies have been hearing about AI for such a long time. And how is it affecting the market? Is it affecting your market? And what do you think it's doing for businesses?
Yeah, so the aspect of AI is obviously blowing up with ChatGPT, but what people don't know, as you mentioned, like AI has been around for a very long time. If you look at content writing AI like Jasper and all the other tools that have been out there, those things have been around for a while. And so there's a variety of different components that come in with it, right? So there's AI that are creating ads and things like that, that are going all over Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera. I always tell people, like, you're going to get out of it what you put in regardless. So whoever's putting in the prompt or telling the AI tool, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Their skill level and knowledge of what it is, whether it's you or you're hiring a company to do that, or you're just using the AI itself, you have to give it what it needs in order to get the output that you're actually looking for. So that's the aspect that, again, you can use AI across all of those platforms when it comes to running ads or doing pictures. I mean, like I was made a post the other day, I think you saw it, where it was like the AI from my yearbook for whatever. Like there's crazy, crazy things that are out there they're going to do. Go ahead and use them, try them out, figure out what works, figure out what sticks and things like that. Probably the biggest question that we get, because SEO is our main kind of service offering. We do Google ads and Facebook ads as well. But people are like, well, can I just put in ChatGPT to write a bunch of blogs and pages and all of that stuff? Google has AI detection, and they've always had AI detection. Now, it just hasn't been as, like, there's not been a platform as good as ChatGPT is right now. So at some point, Google is going to go back and penalize all of the people that have been using ChatGPT. It's just a matter of time. It's not if, it's when. So I tell people, hey, the better the content that you do right now, although it's not as quick, it's not as fast, it's not as sexy, it will end up paying off for you long term. So if you're looking to stay in business long term and have these digital assets and have SEO and all those things, I would not try to put those things on your website. I would still hire companies. I would still do it yourself. I would still do all those things, because it's going to come back full circle at some point. But things like Google ad campaigns, they're starting to use more AI and things like that. If the platforms themselves are recommending using AI, we always tell people, go with whatever they're telling you to do. I always say, I don't question typically why Google says to do something. If they ask me to jump, I just say how high, because Google's king.
Look, I told everybody at the beginning of my podcast when I first started that I would be 100% transparent. So here's transparency for you. I absolutely use ChatGPT. But I absolutely go back in and put my own verbiage in there. And I think that's what I try to tell people. Look, there are businesses that are getting off the ground that cannot afford a large marketing budget. And I think that AI is allowing them to try to help with some of that. It's giving them ideas. It's giving them some of the terminology that they need to set themselves apart a little bit. And so I am definitely 100% guilty of, let's use ChatGPT to guide us on some of these things to obviously cut down on time, but then it has to learn who I am. Look, I have high energy most of the time. I'm very direct. I'm real bossy. If I put something up that was like so kosher and butterflies and sunshines every day, people would say that number one is not Erica, or a marketing company wrote that for her, because that's not her. And then I think your clientele knows that, because people that follow you, that watch you, that are definitely in tune to who you are, especially in a smaller area like my area where I'm from, they know me. They know whenever I say something on Facebook, or if I write something on Instagram, they know if that's me or not. And so I have used ChatGPT obviously for helping write forms and some policies. But I also, what I recommend to anybody that asks me, Erica, do you use ChatGPT, or what's your opinion? Always have a legal team look at that if you're going to be utilizing it for, you know, any type of contracts or forms. Like I've seen people all over the internet, and I open up a contract or a template. That's my favorite thing. It's a template. I'm like, you did not write that. Like we have to change that. That's nowhere near what it needs to say, or it doesn't cover you. That's the other thing. ChatGPT doesn't know what Louisiana law is or Missouri law is. They're just writing, right? And that's great. But I think that we do have to know that it is definitely out there, and it is growing, and people are utilizing it a lot. When I go to, I'm vice chair for the Home Builders Association here, and we went to the state meeting this year, and look, it was a hot topic. And so it's interesting to hear how that plays into the marketing world and what that looks like for you. So with saying that and talking about time management, how do you manage your time between now, obviously being a new dad, which is congratulations. And I've been able to see beautiful pictures of him on Facebook because I follow you on social media. So that's exciting. And obviously it does change your your life upside down probably right now for you. But then how does that work? You have multiple businesses and you have a wonderful wife and a new son. So what does Adam's time management look like right now?
Yeah, well, right now, as you mentioned, it is upside down. So I'm trying to figure out what that new normal looks like. But I would say, you know, even just going back to managing the multiple businesses and all of these, you know, other things, it's been crucial for me to find a team, right? And so in my auto glass company, I haven't been involved in over a year. So we brought in somebody to run that company. The landscape design, I've never been involved in that, luckily. I've only the marketing side, things like that, because I couldn't, you know, at times in the business, we've been like, hey, we need somebody to install glass, or we need somebody to go out and do concrete or pour this retaining wall. I'm not the guy. I have no idea, nor do I have any aspiration to do that. So that's where I come in from the other side of the business of like, I can't touch that stuff. I would ruin the projects and things like that. So the team aspect of it has been absolutely crucial. And I've gone through some transitions really in a very short period of time in the marketing agency, where 3 years ago, it was just me. 2 years ago, it was four of us. Last year, it was nine of us. And then in June, I ended up making a transition where I became a partner in all of Height instead of just having my own, you know, franchise with my own clients. So what that has done for me is really just allowed me to step back a lot in the business, still very involved, more involved than I would like to admit, but I'm really only just working on the branding, the growth, the sales side of our business versus wearing all of the different hats and things like that. So still have a lot to work on there, but when I feel something's off or when I'm not working in my zone of genius, I'm very quick to be self-aware of that. And I'm very big on, man, I'd rather hire for a position or pay somebody more money to take things off of my plate that I don't enjoy doing to get my time back. Yeah. I'm very, very big, especially right now with the baby here and really trying to be there for my wife as well. As like, if it's not something I absolutely enjoy doing, I don't care how much money it's going to make me.
Right.
It's just not needed. So I think just kind of starting with the end in mind of like, what are you actually looking for? What is your why? What are you committed to? All of those things. And then staying absolutely true to that. And then if it's not there, if things come on your plate, I always try to do the decision. Hey, is this for me? Is this actually what I need to be doing? Or should I delegate and elevate or completely get rid of it? What does that actually look like?
So it's interesting that you say that, because I was actually having a conversation with another business owner this morning, and we were talking about exactly what you just said. It goes back to the beginning. And I posed that question to her. I said, what did you originally start the business for? And if it's not going towards that goal, stop and turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes back to time management too, because look, you know, as well as I do, and anybody else that's listening to this, that's a business owner, you get pulled in 100 different ways. I need you to come to this community event. Can you be a part of the chamber? Can you sit on this board? Can you do this? I now sit down and ask myself every time a meeting invite comes through my email, is this part of my why? What did I originally start this business for? And is it a positive, proactive part of my why? If it's not, I'm sorry. I have a lot of people that come to me that ask me to invest. I had two calls this morning. And again, my question was, where is it at? What is it doing? And how will this work for me? Because sometimes it's not about me getting involved in a business. I'm like you. If I can invest in something and then do nothing, now mm-hmm. we're talking that I might be interested. But yep. When you ask me to invest and then that turns into, Erica, I need you to let's just use an example. If they needed me to help with employees and that's not interesting to me at all anymore. I did that already. That was really hard and a lot of time, and that was exhausting. And that's not what I love to do. And so I think time management for a lot of entrepreneurs, I think, is a hard road, because you want to give all of your time so much, I think, and you think that that's going to be your return, right? Oh, if I do this one more thing, I might get a client. Or if I do this one more thing, then it's going to be beneficial to me. And I've learned over the years and through coaching and through self-evaluation, which is hard sometimes, that my time is worth money. And it is worth happiness with my spouse and my kids and my family. And when I am not going towards my why, I'm giving up that. And I'm not willing to do that anymore. And so I think a lot of people need to keep hearing that over and over and over again. And I'm so glad that you touched on that, because your why in any business, I think, is very important. And you know, as well as I do, the coaching group that we're both involved with, they preach that a lot. Like, why are you here? Why are you doing this? And I love that, because it constantly reminds me of what we're doing. And so kind of looping us back around to the marketing world on your why, we touched on height. And I touched on that at the beginning, but you said now that you're a partner. So why was that a good fit for you at the time, whenever you made that transition from being your own entrepreneur to becoming a partner? And then can you tell us a little bit about Hype, the business itself?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I have those other businesses. I have a lot of other aspirations to go start other businesses, as well as I started doing some business coaching and consulting earlier this year. I started speaking on stage a year and a half ago, and that continues to take off as well. And so for me, it was, I don't want to get out of digital marketing, but I didn't want to be the guy doing everything anymore. And I saw an opportunity for me to make a bigger impact at the corporate level. Now I have, you know, under my umbrella, about 150 employees. So for me, it was a sidestep to take a big step forward, because my clients now get access to 150 employees instead of just the 10 that we had. My team now has more resources and advancements for opportunities and all these other benefits they didn't have previously. And then for me, I get to kind of take a step back and talk through that bigger picture of what the future looks like. Again, for me, and everybody talks to me when I talk to them about digital marketing, I'll get on discovery calls with clients from time to time still. And I'll talk to them and basically coach them through their business. Like, marketing might not even come up. I'll be like, hey, you guys don't even need marketing yet. Everybody that comes and works with us on the marketing side or doesn't says, Adam, like, you have so much more to give and so much more value to bring about entrepreneurship and business and all these things. So I just looked at it as my purpose and my commitment in life is to impact as many people as I possibly can in a positive direction, whether that's directly in their business or in their personal lives. So could I do that more being the CEO of an individual height franchise, or could I do it more of being a partner and having these abilities to work on these other projects and get my hands dirty in more things while also getting some of my time back? It's definitely that second option. So that was the reason why I did that. And it's been absolutely phenomenal ever since. We're continuing to grow and scale and do all these amazing things and work on some really cool projects. But as far as Height goes, so Height started as a white label marketing agency back in 2017. And so what most people don't know about marketing agencies is less than 10% of them actually do the work themselves. A lot of them will hire freelancers, or they will hire another marketing company, or they'll hire a white label agency. So Height worked with a couple hundred marketing agencies where the marketing agency would sell you a website or sell you the service, SEO, PPC, et cetera. And then they would send it over to Height. Height would do the work, and then that company would slap their name on it. So they did that for 3 years and grew pretty quickly, but just decided, hey, you know, these marketing agencies are over here promising the world to these clients, and we never know that conversation. And then they're sending us the work. We're doing the work. Nobody knows it's us. Right. And then that client ends up losing that client. So it's just this big roller coaster and spinning wheel. So they said, how can we disrupt the digital marketing space by the end goal of really providing a better overall service for the local small business owner? They said, let's franchise what we've been able to do in the white label format, but let's build all these locations with franchise owners and things like that across the country. So back in 2020, that's when they started. I was franchise number 7. We've been up to as many as 26 locations. But essentially, we've been able to grow through that franchising model when I came on as a partner, we now also have a corporate direct-to-business model as well. So we still serve our franchises and their agencies and their clients, but we're going through and taking our bandwidth of 150 full-time employees and helping businesses directly through that format as well. And that's where I've been able to kind of come in, help grow the business, build out a sales team, things like that.
That is awesome. So when we get towards the end part of the podcast, I always like to ask my favorite question, which is, what nugget can you throw out to anybody that's listening that's like, okay, I've listened to Adam and Erica today, and I need to interview a new marketing company, or I need to go evaluate my marketing. What is something that you would tell them to basically evaluate whether what they're doing, and obviously money is a factor here, but just as an overall, what is something that you would tell them that they need to be looking for, or a question that they should be asking their marketing company for them to evaluate if they're in the right place, doing the right thing for their organization?
Yeah. So there's three key things. First off is, do I own the digital assets? We are building so many websites right now that companies are coming to us because they're working with, it's typically a large national marketing agency, a couple of them, that they actually own these businesses' websites. So they typically will pay a couple $100 a month. They'll pay off the website over time, but it's basically a rental. And then when you decide to leave that marketing company, the only thing you actually own is your domain. So you're basically renting your website out. Some people have been doing it for years, and it's just super unfortunate because you got to start from ground zero. So a lot of companies also own people's ad campaigns. So again, you're just renting your own data that you're putting money to into every single month. So I always tell people, absolutely make sure that you own your digital assets. Number two is truly understand the deliverables about what are actually happening each and every single month and get actual documentation of that. So we give clients a work log of everything that we do, from the tiniest things to the biggest things. Not that they're going to understand or know exactly what it is that we're doing, but they can at least go and say, okay, this was done and here's a link to it, or here was the optimization and all those things. So ask for actual evidence of stuff being done. And then number three is kind of what we talked about earlier. So what we talked about earlier is, hey, I want to know, I want to see case studies, but I not only want to, you know, see what you've done for your other clients, but I want to see that you can do it in your own competitive market. There's not another competitive industry out there like digital marketing to see if you actually know SEO or ads or any of those things, then competing in a sea of a bunch of other digital marketing agency owners. And then a last thing, which is still pretty key as well, is who do I get access to, and what does the support look like after the sale, and how often are we meeting? A lot of these agencies that are out there are sales-driven organizations, with 80 to 90% of the organization being salespeople, with 10% or 20% being fulfillment. So once you sign the contract and then once you pay, you go off to another person, but that's just one person that there's not much bandwidth behind that one person there. So it's super important that you understand, who do I get access to? Is there an account manager? Who's my main point of contact? Are we meeting weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, all of those things? So that way you can understand the expectations of where this relationship is going.
Oh my goodness. Every time we talk, Adam, I'm just like, oh, wow, I just got another list of homework that I need to do. So I am so excited that you were able to get on with me this morning and give all of your knowledge and expertise to our listening audience today. And I greatly appreciate it. On leaving, I want to let everyone know where they can find you, get a hold of you, look at your social media. So drop all that information for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So on social media, the easiest place to get a hold of me at is going to be on Instagram. That's at Adam L. McChesney. You can also go to adammcchesney.com and get links to my Facebook, my LinkedIn, YouTube, all of those different things. And then also see all the information about Height Digital, which that's at heightdigital.com.
And I think you have a podcast too, right?
I do. It's called Entrebrewer, and I need to get you scheduled for an episode, which reminds me. Yeah, it's called Entrebrewer. So I came up with that name about a year and a half ago, just comparing entrepreneurial journeys of my guest and comparing it to that of the beer brewing process.
Love it. Love it. Well, where can they find your podcast at?
Yep. So you can go to entrebrewer.com and then you'll see it on all the different platforms and wherever you listen to it the most.
Adam, I am super excited that you came on with me today. I love all the wealth of knowledge that you give, and you are so transparent every time I've talked to you, and obviously just learning a little bit more about you today, Height is as well. And I just love that. If there's anything that I can do to help or assist or promote, you know that I am absolutely here to do that. Congratulations on the new bundle of joy. And I hope and pray that this lifelong journey is blessed and blissful for you. And I am so excited. To everyone listening today, I hope that you embrace everything that Adam and I talked about today. Elevate yourself by educating yourself, and always empower yourself by the people that you are in a room with. And I am so blessed to have been in the room and on this podcast with you today, Adam. And so to everyone else out there today, have an amazing afternoon, morning, day, and be blessed. Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.